Welcome to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Well, it was a mighty close call for Freedom House. The one-of-a-kind Detroit shelter provides housing and legal aid and a host of services for asylum seekers, and its doors were in danger of closing after its annual grant from the Department of Housing and Urban Development was slashed by more than half. Freedom House began some fruitful fundraising from the community, but the future was still cloudy for Freedom House until today. And now we've learned HUD had a change of heart and is giving Freedom House its full grant for 2017-2018. But this is a very good time to talk about what Freedom House has meant to asylum seekers. With us is the executive director of Freedom House, Deborah Drennan, and with her is one of the asylum seekers who lives in Freedom House. And to protect her identity and for the safety of her family members back home, we're going to be using the name Susan. And we welcome both of you. So good to have you both here.
Thank you so much.
Deborah, when did you learn that HUD had decided to award you the full grant and not the slash by more than half grant?
We just posted it this morning.
Because it really was looking very dangerous for your future when you heard that the grant was going to be cut so severely.
Yes, we were concerned. We were concerned. We felt all along that we had a good appeal. So when we got notice that we weren't going to be funded, we immediately followed up with the appeal. And we thought we had a pretty good case for it, if you would. And apparently we did.
So they did have a change of heart. Why do you think the grant had been cut?
Well, there's been so much about funding limitations, right? There's only so much money, and we're watching it be reduced and reduced. And then priorities shifted about housing and populations. Housing first models were what's called transitional housing models. And historically, they weren't the biggest bang for the buck. And when HUD did an assessment, they recognized that. But after meeting with Freedom House, did recognize that we were one of the perfect models. We had a 94% success rate in people exiting our program from homelessness to permanent housing. And even with that, we were prioritized low on the list.
So this was something that HUD has been doing. This did not necessarily begin on January 21st
with a new president. That's correct.
Before we get into the future for you, I want people to get a full understanding of what you do at Freedom House. And that begins by clarifying for everyone the difference between refugees, which is a term we've heard a lot of in the news, and asylum seekers.
Thank you for that. So an asylum seeker is a refugee, fits under the same definition. However, when you think about a resettled refugee, for instance, the Syrians, people coming from the Middle East, those are people who have been vetted, then approved abroad to come to the United States. Now, they don't get to pick a country. You know, there's so many slots, and the UNHCR or whoever's assisting them will direct them to the country that has the space. And for us in Michigan, we have some really terrific resettlement organizations. And so a resettled refugee comes to the U.S., has a Social Security number given as part of that process, and then goes to a resettlement organization and then gets the assistance, connects with job training, English as a second language classes, a small funding pot, if you would, for resettlement benefits, which is at risk, to kind of help them get settled. And then these resettlement agencies work with them very closely. Then you have an asylum seeker who is a refugee who really seeks protection on our soil. So their vetting process came through the embassy when the visas were issued. So they come, speaking on behalf of Freedom House, they come with a visa. So they've been vetted, but they don't have a Social Security number. And because of that, they're not eligible for any mainstream benefits. In fact, without a Social Security number, you can't get a job. And so for an asylum seeker, it's illegal. It could jeopardize their case to earn income during the process.
And the process, I'm sure, is not speedy.
No, not at all. Freedom House, a typical case, let's say English-speaking case, could go about 8 to 9 months. Then you send that application out. Then there's a receipt. USCIS says, okay, we have your asylum application. Here is your A number. And then the date on that receipt, which then registers them as an alien with the federal government, 6 months later, they can apply for work authorization. 3 months later, it arrives. So 9 months to apply, finish the application, send it in. Then 9 months later, they can start working. So that's about at 18 months.
You can't bring a dime in. So do you need a safety net, and that's what you do at Freedom
House.
What kind of services, besides housing? You have housing.
So housing is critical because remember what we said, you can't earn an income, so where do you live? And we talk about mental health and stability. So without housing, how do you feel safe? We also have the psychosocial services. So we have lawyers right on site who help with the case. 98% of our residents are victims of torture. That includes some children, which is horrible to say, but it's truthful. And so connecting them with medical and behavioral health so that they can pull their lives together and focus more. We have special services for, like, for instance, the LGBT community. We recently received a grant from the Hope Fund, from the Community Foundation of Southeastern Michigan, to develop some specialized program, reach out to our alumni so that they can also be part of this community that's growing and be connected.
It's a huge umbrella of services.
And employment readiness is key. So we work with some really wonderful folks, one who is a former CEO of Career Builders, Manpower, to really mentor our residents so that they can go off and volunteer in positions. And then ideally they would be hired, but if not, they would have the skills and have an understanding of what the American work culture is.
They broke the ice.
They broke the ice. Not forced to take any job available, which in this case oftentimes is survival jobs, because there's some horrible delays in not just decisions, but even being granted asylum interviews and decisions being granted. So people are waiting 3, 5, 6 years. While they're waiting, they still have to support families back home who are in harm's way. So the income has to be sustainable here so that they can live on their own, but also maintain 2 households.
So you are a huge safety net. And you have, Deborah, you've brought someone with you who is living at Freedom House.
Yes, I did. And Susan, yes, who is from West Africa. And Susan, when did you come to Freedom House?
It was last year in November.
November.
Yes.
So, oh, that's right, because we were driving here from Detroit, and she said, I'll be so glad when things are green. So she's never seen it green here.
I've never seen
it's coming, Susan, I can promise
the,
you.
The light is bright. The sun is bright, but no green.
That's Susan, why did you have to leave home?
Mainly for political reasons.
And how did you find Freedom House?
I can say it was really God's way that I found Freedom House. People talked about it. And I got hope when I had just got out of the airport. People found me walking around and were like, what are you doing here? You look lost. So I was like, I'm hopeless. I don't know where to go and I don't know anyone here. Then they were like, can you trust me and I take you home for some few days as I look for a place for you to go? So I was picked up by someone and 2 days later, he brought me to Freedom House.
So you had, talk about the kindness of strangers.
Ambassadors everywhere.
Ambassadors,
we don't know
everywhere.
Who they are. And they didn't introduce themselves. They didn't take money. They actually made sure that she got here safely.
They paid everything for me. And they brought me to Freedom House.
So the process is, as you say, a long one to be granted asylum status.
Correct, right. Her first step coming into the house is to meet with the legal department because they have to certainly assess to make sure she's eligible for an asylum claim, because an asylum claim is based on 1 of 5 criteria. So you could be fleeing your country because of your religious opinion, because of your political belief, your nationality, your race, or your religious practice. And there's a social group also for the LGBT community. It also could be somebody like a photojournalist, isn't religious, isn't political, but still demonstrating the atrocities in their country. So
and they're in danger.
Under, and
these
they're
are
in danger.
People in
That's
danger.
Correct.
Susan,
being tortured.
What do you think the first thing is? What do you hope to do or do you think about doing once you are granted asylum?
Oh, my God. I don't know. I don't know because I have a lot on my mind. And I had a personal disaster in childhood. So as she has said, that we have organizations that help us to start afresh by finding work to do. And if given the opportunity and I get work to do and I save some money, I'll finance my education further. And I want to become a therapist. So I'm looking forward to that.
Do you have family still at home?
Yeah, I do have a family at home.
Would you like to get them over here?
No.
Okay.
Sometimes the families contribute to the political upheaval. And that's also a very common story that in some families, their political divide, I imagine we see that in our country right now. But in that case where you favor the regime, so to speak, and you get more. You get more money, you get more prestige. And those who are outspoken against that regime then become in harm's way, which I think is in Susan's case.
Yes.
Yeah, and the only person I would have brought here is gone. So.
Okay. So you're building your new life here.
Yes.
Deborah, you've got your HUD grant for 2017, 2018, but you've got to be looking ahead.
Yes.
You've seen President Trump's proposed budget. Still a lot of work to do on that, but there's some pretty clear messages for
aren't
correct.
There? There's messages, I think, for most folks that work in human rights programs. We're looking strategically to prepare for the time when that door is closed. We've had such a wonderful, Cynthia, the wonderful response from the community.
Because you did some big-time fundraising.
$300,000 was raised in less than, just shy of a 2-month period when people heard that the threat for our doors to close. And so I think it's important, one, for Freedom House that we have so many allies, some friends, supporters. We've met many new people. I think many of them are going to be and have made commitments to be sustaining donors. But it speaks to the residents that they have friends. When we watch the news and the rhetoric and the fear and the anxiety, that that's not necessarily the entire circle that surrounds us. But really strategically looking at those folks, and then as we've built this network of support to keep rolling so that they can introduce us to others, and then eventually to be able to say, which I think the community is telling us right now, remember we told them the government wouldn't help us, right? We lost the funding. And these people stepped up and said, well, we will. And I think we're going to continue with that support. We've had so many calls for volunteers that we actually can't place people. I mean, the calls have been tremendous. Our Facebook page and our website, freedomhousedetroit.org, has all of these special events that people are doing to raise funds, but also because they support the population that we service. They recognize that, you know, refugees, asylum seekers, immigrants have a role in this community, and they want to be part of their development as well.
Deborah Drennan is Executive Director of Freedom House Detroit, and Susan with us today, one of the asylum seekers who is beginning to build her new life in America, in Michigan, at Freedom House. Thank you so much to both of you.
Thank you, Cynthia.
I just can't stop to appreciate and thank the people who have supported us in each and everything, because Freedom House is a gift to us. They have given us a shoulder to cry on.
Thanks,
and
Susan.
We promise you, it will get green.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thanks.